I'm very pleased to have in the studio this morning someone who's extremely talented, is doing wonderful things for South Africa, all over the world. His designs are acclaimed, and we'll find out from him just how this year is looking in terms of fashion. But Gert-Jan Coetzee is here. How are you, brother?
Hello, Gareth, fine and you?
Nice to see you, man. You look all chirpy this morning.
Thank you. I do try.
Oh, what the hell? What time did you wake up?
I was unfortunately up at 6. I do not know how you do this. Us designers, we need our sleep. I generally only wake up 8:30. So this was extremely
this hell for you.
It's rough. It was a rough morning.
If it makes you feel any better, Ben was up at 3 because he wanted to watch the cricket. 2:30, sorry.
That is self-inflicted, sorry.
Yeah.
It's not. It's called liking cricket. It's not a crime.
All right, listen. I gotta say, your story is just incredible. A lot of people have an interesting story. They've maybe had to overcome all kind of obstacles to get to where they're going. But for creative people to be able to do what they're good at, it's not always the easiest thing in the world.
It's rough. It's difficult. And, you know, there's so many young designers and young artists that wants to break into the industry but doesn't quite understand how and how to go about it and how to make money from it.
And some of it is luck and some of it is hard work.
Yeah, a lot of luck, a lot of hard work.
Because, for example, the unluckiest thing in the whole world, you're born in Koster. What a toilet, right?
Where is that?
No, Koster is amazing. It's in the Northwest province.
Listen, don't be nice about the place. It's a terrible place. Come on.
Have you been there?
No, I don't need to go. It's like you're asking me if I need to go into Mordor, like Frodo, to discover whether it's a bad place. Come on. What happens in Koster?
It's a farming community. It's a lot of farm talk, a lot of cows, a lot of maize. It's just fun.
This is not a good environment for a gay fashion designer to be born in.
You know, I think it's like, thriving from it. I don't know. It was fun. It was rough growing up because there's not much to relate to, but heck, it makes you different.
Well, I mean, listen, your family must be amazing people.
I must say, I do have a very supportive family, and I'm very blessed to have a great mother and father and great. I'm blessed. But I think it's a small town mentality. Everybody there is nice and friendly and supportive.
Is this an urban legend, or did you actually dress your pencils up in tissue paper when you were a kid?
I actually did do that. School was not for me. So whatever I had to do not to focus in class, I would do it. So I had we had a space case, they called it.
Yeah,
there.
I remember that. Was it, what color was it? Yellow?
Mine was purple.
Oh.
And that would form the
Lucky
runway.
You, I had a yellow one.
Yeah, of course. But the space case would form the runway and then my pencils would be the models.
So you were doing this, how old were you then? Like 7, 8?
Eight. Young. I just always thought I wanted to be a fashion designer. I didn't know what it was called, though. I just know I wanted to make clothes.
That's amazing. Did you take a lot of trouble when you would get dressed every morning from an early age to choose what you were going to wear?
I would dress very strangely.
I would find
old clothes and wear it, like always big clothes and always funny, weird, ugly things.
Ugly things.
When I look back at my school years, I thought, did I only live out of hospice shops and hand-me-downs? Because that was the only things that I wore. And then I started sewing and I made myself this Matrix-inspired coat. So that was kind of the staple in the wardrobe.
Okay.
And I had one of those little scooter things. And I was also slightly overweight back then. So
you were fat?
I was so fat.
No.
I was jetting across Koster and my little scooter thing with my massive coat flaring up.
It must have been like
that's quite a sight.
Yeah, that's quite an incredible sight. People must have thought you were a freak.
I think so. I really think so.
Did you wear uniforms at school?
I went to normal school until grade 4, and then I went to homeschooling.
You see, this is what saved you.
Luckily,
because going to school in a uniform, look, in some ways, I suppose what it does is it means that flamboyant people like you don't have to be picked on for what you're wearing.
Exactly.
But it must have been very annoying for you because there you have to conform to this terrible uniform. What color was it? Khaki or gray?
I think it was green and brown. Green.
Who designs these uniforms? Shouldn't they be crucified?
You know, get proper designers in, hey?
Describe the school uniform and then tell me how much you hated it.
I didn't mind it that much. It was gray and green and yellow. Oh, that ugly yellow. Not the nice yellow that your logo is.
Like a puke yellow.
That ugly yellow. Like dirty yellow. It was that. And I didn't really mind it. I was always neat. When I wore the uniform, it was neat.
Okay.
I used to make these elastic things for my socks that I used to put inside the socks that they don't go down throughout the day.
Wow. Like a garter.
Like a garter.
Okay.
Clever, hey?
Yeah, look at you. This is as a small kid. And then you would dress up your pencils, and you just knew from an early age you'd be a designer, but you weren't sure what that was.
No.
So did you immediately receive encouragement from people that they could see you were creative, or was was there a kind of don't go that way, become a doctor?
I think that ship sailed pretty soon. But I think, you know, it was a whole group effort of the whole neighborhood in Kolstad. I was telling somebody else, a sewing machine has this thing called a bobbin that goes inside the machine. And I was sewing around 7 years already. And I didn't understand how to thread the thing. So I would go from house to house to house each day and ask the housewives to help me thread it. Yeah, tinies of Kolstad. And I couldn't go back to the same house twice because then they'll get annoyed with me. So I had to pick a house. So it was quite a walk.
So what, were you special needs or something that you couldn't figure out this bobbin?
I'll give what I want to you. It's rough. Being seven and trying to figure out a bobbin, not easy.
Well, listen, I think that it's quite incredible how everybody was supporting you.
Yes, thank you.
A lot of people don't have that.
No, I think that's what motivated me in my career, is that knowing that the whole town thought it was something weird and something funny, this kid that just wanted to sew and just make dresses. And I was about 12, I was running a business, making matric dance dresses. So
wow.
It had its snowball effect. It was nice pocket money.
Sure. Well, listen, people pay a fortune these days for these matric dance dresses, huh?
I know, right?
You could finance revolutions on that kind of money. When you did these matric dance dresses, were there any of these creations that you look back now and you think, yes, that was terrible? Because, listen, if you look at matric dance dresses in photographs, Mubs, I don't know, how was yours? What was yours like?
Oh, I had a horrendous dress. And remember, in matric, I was at my fattest that I've ever been in my life.
Oh, no.
It was this purple thing made of chiffon, and it just, oh, no, it was horrible.
Purple, huh? You chose the color?
I chose a color, but then the material that they bought was not... Because this is the thing. When you have your dress made, you go to them and you're like, this is what I want. And then they come back and they show you their final product. And you're like, what?
You got that from what I told you. Yeah, no, I've seen that as well.
Listen, there's some of those things. Awful. There's some of those things that South African ladies, women, girls used to wear in the 80s that have got to be among the worst dresses in humanity's history, with a big poofy shoulders and stuff,
yeah,
right?
So dramatic. And the more you had, the more fabulous you looked.
Puffer and in
sequins.
Cunt. Lace.
What?
Cunt.
I don't know what cunt is.
No, that word in my studio, because of course I'm Afrikaans, but most of the people that work there is English, so they just crack up every day. So I might say cunt. Especially, that's hilarious.
So what do you say?
Do you remember? Hold on. I just thought of something. When I was a kid, everybody was talking about that terrible dress that Nas's wife wore to her wedding. Did you ever hear about this dress?
Never.
Oh, you're going to love this. All right. So I can't find a picture of it anywhere, but there must be one in like an old Heisgenoot or something. Do you remember it? Does anybody remember? Okay. Karen, Nas's wife, to her wedding, she was a high jumper or something, so she had great legs. Okay, a long jumper. She wore a dress that was short in the front and long at the back.
No.
So it showed up.
It had a mullet.
It was a mullet dress. And this was her wedding dress. You have to find a picture of this. Katjan, it'll drive you up the wall. It's definitely something uniquely South African, but in a bad way. So listen, when you're designing for women, you have to get inside their heads. Because some of these women, they know what they want, but they can't articulate it properly. Mm-hmm. And if you don't read them right, you're going to end up designing something. And this is before you became a famous designer and they take your word as gospel. Because in the beginning, they must have said to you, I want it this way. And you go, can I change this and can I change that? And sometimes the answer is no. So when you start off as a designer, you really have to read people, right?
I make it the point to just let them know that there's, when I have a new client, that there's one designer, there's one chef in this kitchen.
Okay.
I'm so open to your ideas.
You were doing this young already.
Yes. I'm very open to your ideas, but this is my name on the in the end of the day, and I will not. I'll rather, and I've done it many times where I've just closed the book and says, you know what, I'm not the designer for you. Rather go somewhere else.
Even if it's a rich, powerful woman.
Because what happens is, in the end of the day, I won't be able to work with her, and I'll give her money back anyway. So, I'm very quick to refund your deposit if you don't want to play games.
Really? Sure. That's quite something.
I've always wondered whether designers secretly get less excited when they're not designing for like a model frame, because maybe it's a little bit more challenging if you're designing for a plus size woman.
No, not like, at all. That... I never actually design for model frames except for Fashion Week. Most of the times it is the South African figure. It's a realistic figure that you design for. It's very rare where you get these beautiful model types that you design for.
Now, we just had Fashion Week the other day.
Yes.
How was that?
It's over.
Is that a very stressful time for you every year?
It is the most stressful time that you can imagine. Imagine launching Cliff Central twice a year.
Jeez.
Over.
No, thank you.
You know, it's like
it's
that.
Added 5 years to my life.
That's why designers are so bitchy and mean, because they're so stressed all the time.
When you go into this, do you care about what other people are doing and what you hear on the rumor and the gossip mill? Or do you just have to focus on what you are trying to achieve with your show?
You just focus on what you're trying to achieve. And then afterwards, you hear what people thought of it. But every year, you just get your hopes up and do what you love and do what you think is right for the time. And yeah, it's very stressful, but it's a lot of fun.
All right, Khatjan, you've got to educate me here. I don't know the first thing about Fashion Week. I went once maybe 10, 12 years ago. And I fell asleep during a show.
No, I'm
not the right guy. This is why I avoid it now, because I respect fashion. I'm not going to fall asleep in the front row and be photographed sleeping, because it's very disrespectful, right?
Yeah, it's like, it's art.
It's an art. It's like going to a gallery and peeing against the painting.
Very
it's
disrespectful.
Not good, right? It's
yeah.
terrible. So, okay, how does it work? How do you know you're at the top of your game? When you have, which show is it that everybody goes, oh, that's the show. Is there a certain time of day? Is there a certain positioning?
Not really. I think a sellout show, a show where people are queuing to get in, where people are fighting to get in. I mean, my show just now, it was at 54th and Bath, and the hotel had such security problems the whole day with people trying to get into the show or staggering there in the morning and waiting for the show to start at night. So
now, who are these people? Are these women who can't wait for you to design stuff for them? Are these fans of yours?
I think it's celebrity fashionistas that want to see celebrities, they want to see fashion, they want to be in the loop. They're trendsetters. They're actually the people that you want there in the end of the day.
Do you laugh and feel sorry for them behind their backs?
No.
Because this is their life.
No, I try and accommodate them. I try first, it's a little scary to see people queuing at your show from a very early time in the morning.
Yeah.
So you kind of try and avoid that. But I think it's amazing. I always try and get everybody into the show, and it's not always possible, especially this time around where it was such an intimate show that we just couldn't accommodate more.
How many people did you have in there eventually?
Normally we have about 600, and then the show ends about 700 when all the standing tickets goes in. But this year we only had 200.
And how many outfits did you have to have?
30
designed?
Outfits. We did the show 4 times. The venue was very exclusive, so we could only do it the show to 52 people at a time.
Wow.
So we had to do the show 4 times. It was very rough. And of course, I asked all my celebrity friends to do this. So really testing our friendship to ask them to do the same thing 4 times.
Really?
Now, you spoke about the bitchy element with fashion designers. Mm. And I mean, there's competition in every field. So when everyone is talking about a David Lally, are you secretly like, oh, please, not
Shut
him
up
again?
About him, yeah.
Or when
yeah.
a Gavin Raja is being, so they're saying that he's copied yet another dress, are you secretly smiling and laughing, thinking,
no.
yep.
I'm like, oh, why are they saying that? Yeah. No, you know, I think it's, I'm friends with all the designers and we all support each other. You see us all together. It's quite
really?
A sight for
sore
eyes.
But not during Fashion Week.
During Fashion Week, you kind of know. You'll go and support your friend designer, but you won't say hi or bye. You'll just say hi and then wave from a distance, because you know what it's like at the stress level. And the last thing you feel like is somebody to come and make chit chat to you that's in the same industry. So you kind of give your design, you there to support from a distance, and you wave mm-hmm. and you say hi and you make a little bit of noise for them. I think it's very important. For me, every time I go to a fashion show, I make it a point to stand up when the designer comes out, because that's their moment.
You're supporting the industry.
I'm supporting the industry. Right. And it's months and months and months of seclusion where you're just working on this one collection. I started already to work on the collection for October. So by the time that collection shows, you know it so well, and you just want to feel this relief after and see people's opinion and talk to people.
Were you happy with everybody's response to your show?
Of course. No, I was very happy. Thank goodness.
Rave reviews all around? Is there anyone who said anything shitty?
Nobody. I'm so happy.
Well, you never know, Mubs. There's sometimes these, you know, there's bitchiness here. Who is the most important person to have in South Africa in the front row of a show? Because, for example, if you're doing a show in New York or Paris and Anna Wintour sits there from Vogue magazine and she likes what you're doing, you're good.
But also Anna Wintour sitting second row last season at in Paris Fashion Week. So,
oh, really?
Yeah.
So who's in the front now?
I don't know. It's changing.
Internationally.
Yeah, bloggers. Bloggers are
bloggers
bigger
are the
now,
big
yeah.
ones, huh?
Bloggers, online, everything that's more
who
online.
Who are the influential people in South Africa? And if in you South mention Africa. Them, obviously they'll think you're fantastic because by mentioning them, you're giving them the power that they might not have.
I think probably the most influential person in fashion is Lucilla Boyens. I think she's the owner of Fashion Week, and she gives you the platform for the important people to see you. So I think
okay.
that's important. I think Chris Viljoen is quite important from Spree.co.za. He's a great fashion lover and really a good curator.
It's interesting you bring up Spree because just yesterday we had a guy who's the head of e-commerce at Media 24 in, and he was talking about Spree as
yeah,
well.
Yeah, they just won an award yesterday.
Right.
They, yeah.
The people are buying a lot of stuff online now. Is that something at your high end of fashion where you're designing individual garments for people and you're bringing out your collections, which are not for everybody because not everybody can A, afford them, and B, most people are very conservative when it comes to fashion. Mm. They're not willing to step out in something that's eye-catching, that's different, that's original, that's creative.
I think it depends. Like,
do you sell stuff online?
Yes, I'm on spree.co.za. I'm on the boutique. So I think it's amazing. We sell out every collection sells out. It is smaller collections, but we're also in Edgar's and a couple of other boutique stores.
So you don't mind going a little more mainstream to make the money?
No, not at all. There's different collections. I mean, there's a Khachan Kutsia gown that only the, yeah, it's a very selective audience, let me put it that way, for a custom-made Khachan Kutsia gown. But then, of course, I got to a point where when I wasn't working, I wasn't making money. And you know, we have to grow this industry, and I have
sure.
to grow as a person. So.
And you don't want to have fashion design as a part-time thing. This
no,
is your life.
This is my life, and I don't want to get to an age of 80 where I can't work anymore and now I don't have money anymore. So I came up with a ready-to-wear collection, which is still pretty high-end. It's not your normal price range. It's slightly higher, but it is affordable. It is achievable. If you really want to buy into the brand, that's probably the way to go, and it's doing very well. We're in 4 stores, and we're online, and we are in about 10 boutiques, and I think this is such a great evidence of the growth of the South African fashion industry where us as designers can actually run a business from selling clothes and we've never had that and that is thanks to SA Fashion Week and the business of fashion and the fashion agent that is creating these platforms, and it's such an important business module.
So
have
so
you
in
dressed
other words,
any international celebrities, stars?
Not in the ready-to-wear
well,
collection
he's
yet.
Dressed Kourtney Kardashian
but,
and Kristen from the Hills, they wore those on the Hollywood red carpet, right?
Yes, and Kelly Rowland. I mean, those were all such great milestones for me and just really for the brand.
Who gets your dresses noticed the most? Let's go through this list. We'll play brackets if we have to, but I want to find out who the most important model is to have. Let's imagine you dress these celebrities. You have all of these women have been on your list. Pabi Moloi, Lira, Bonang, Tamara Day, Cindy Nell, Lisa Van der Vestes, and Doreen Morris. Which of these names really gets things crackling?
I think all of those names are, I work with certain celebrities for different reasons, and all of them bring a certain element to Khachan Kutsia.
You know what I'm talking about.
I know what you're talking about. I'm not going
to
say.
No, cut to the chase, because if a certain magazine puts a certain person on the cover, they sell 100,000 copies. Yeah. If they put someone else on the cover, they sell 10,000 copies.
I think it would be a tie between Lira Bonang and Mimi Dlamini.
Okay.
I think those are the golden
those
girls.
Are the golden girls, huh?
Of South Africa. But I mean, there's the more popular pop culture type of girls, and then there's the girls like Tamara Day, which is very artistic, and I like dressing her for that reason, because that
she'll,
inspires
you can be a little more haute couture with her,
yes,
right?
Yes, more avant-garde. So that is a lot of fun working with different personalities, and I don't dress people for just the sake of it. You really have to inspire me. I mean, I've been working with Thando Hopa, my muse, now for about 3 years, and just her.
How does this work? This muse
difference.
Thing. How does that happen?
What is the process?
And who is Thando? Tell us.
Thando is a prosecutor that I met in Cresta Mall after freaking her the hell out, walking up to her saying, "Hey, I'm Khat. Would you please model for me?" And she's like, "You are who?" and what now? And gave her my card, asked her to please go and check me out, Google me and see that we are doing this legitly. And she did, and she phoned me, and we've been having a great relationship since. We've been doing a lot of, I call it fashion with a conscience together, and really mm-hmm. raising a lot of awareness and money for different causes. But Tando really impressed me on last week Wednesday when she, the morning after, she was obviously my muse, so she's the main model in my show, and she, the morning of the show, she put a rapist in jail, and in the evening, she closed Khatch and Kutsia's show.
Whoa.
What
how powerful
a,
is that?
Yeah,
that's a busy girl.
That's a woman for me. And that is a dynamic woman. That, and that's the type of person that inspires me. People that changes the world. People
wow.
that's a mover and a shaker and just doesn't say no.
But when you walked up to her in Cresta to ask her to model for you, what was it that drew you to her? Was yeah. it the way she walked? Was it the way she, I mean,
course,
what is it that attracts
Tando's
you
different.
To someone?
Tando has albinism, so she's got a very different
okay.
look. Yeah, yeah. But she's very beautiful. She is, she's like, looks like a
porcelain doll.
Porcelain
doll, there's
okay.
the word.
It's Koster coming out.
Koster, here comes Koster. And I had to ask her to model for me, and I've never done it before, and I haven't done it since, but she was just that beautiful that I had to have her part of the Khatcher and Kutsira.
That's extraordinary.
Thank you. She is a beautiful woman. She's the extraordinary woman.
Is it different to design? I mean, like some skin tones carry off a color better than others.
Of course.
Like Mabali here can wear yellow in any shade. She can wear light colors, dark colors. She looks good in all of them.
Mm.
I think she's got a really nice skin tone.
Yeah, she
does. If you're very dark, then you could probably pull off a whole different range of colors. If you're very, very light... Do you have to design according to that? Does color play such an important
course,
role anymore?
I mean, every time I change my own hair color, I have to change my wardrobe because then things doesn't work as well anymore. So it's true. But you know,
what is your hair at the moment?
My hair's
the last time I saw you were very blonde with that little.
Yes, now I'm navy blue.
You're navy blue. Let me see that. Can I see under the cap?
No,
we won't take a picture.
Take the cap off, but I'll take it inside. It's like
navy blue,
bluey blacky color. So
wow,
it's
look at that.
And it goes into like the turquoisey vibe. So it's a lot of fun playing with the. With the
How
hair.
Often do you change the color of your hair?
You know, you go to the I go to the salon about 4 times a week. So I
what?
Yes. So we change hair colors quite often, and it's always
isn't it bad for your hair? Aren't you worried it's going to fall out?
No, not really. I think if you're working with the proper people, I do it at Javal and Hyde Park, so they are very proper and very skilled with hair, and
okay.
they work with a lot of celebrities and people whose hair gets styled quite often. So I guess they're the best people to take care of your hair.
4 times a week.
Yeah. So,
how long are you in there for? An hour?
An hour. So 4 hours a week. I'm actually work out how many years of my life I'm spending
in
doing
the
my
salon.
Hair.
Right? Yeah, you
I mean,
should.
You must know everyone in there by first name.
I do.
That's incredible. 4 hours a week just in the hair salon. I suppose it's important what you look like.
You know, it's part of the package. You're not going to go to a designer that's dressed badly. You know,
no.
you won't go to a radio presenter that can't speak. So.
What do you think of this whole Dolce & Gabbana situation?
Within jail?
No,
there's this whole big controversy. Apparently they said that they don't think it's right that gay couples, they used to be a gay couple, and they're obviously not together anymore.
Yeah, they were commenting on in vitro fertilization, IVF, and they said that these babies who are born this way are synthetic. So Elton John got very offended, took it personally, because
and they've started
their child through IVF.
Yeah, and they've started this massive embargo.
Yeah, and then Elton John called for Dolce & Gabbana to be boycotted, and people like Victoria Beckham were jumping on board.
Dolce & Gabbana just always finds themselves in trouble, eh? I don't know.
They should shut up.
The gays should stop bitching amongst each other. That's just a lot of bitching. Just get over it.
Also, it's just sort of it's self-defeating in this case, because they are a gay couple, and as I understood, they actually did adopt children. That's what I heard.
I'd have to look that up.
It's just ridiculous, right?
A lot of unnecessary bitchiness.
Now, how hard has it been to keep a marriage together when you work as hard as you do?
Well, you know, me and my husband work together. So Vicky is a Reiki master, and
yeah,
he
but
does
that's
his
the
thing.
Problem if you work together.
No, Vicky.
Yeah, you can.
Have
when
you ever
keep
met
the office
Vicky?
And home separate?
Vicky is the zenest person you've ever met. He's
so
just,
he balances you.
He's such a balancer and
okay.
such a yin and yang in our relationship. So it works. Vicky is very quiet. He's very he doesn't speak a lot at all.
How did you two meet?
We met in Klerksdorp about 10 years ago.
Why these horrible places all the time for you?
No, it's fun. That's where I studied. So I went from Kroonstad to Clarksdorp, picked up Vicky there, came to Joburg, and 9 years later got married.
Now your life is good.
Now it's good. And now we're together for 10 years.
So you met in Clarksdorp. How did you meet him?
Through a mutual friend. It's very funny story.
Go on, I want to hear it.
It's not appropriate for radio.
Come on, tell me the story.
No,
I was dating
my first boyfriend ever, and he was, his friend was dating Vicky, and then we kind of, me and Vicky started dating.
You swapped.
Oh, yeah.
So,
are the other couple together or not?
No.
You've destroyed two lives. That's fine.
Sorry. But it worked out, and yeah, I'm sorry.
Yeah, these things happen. These things happen.
You know. At least you two are happy. Seven years now.
No, 10 years.
10 years?
Yeah, it's long.
That's incredible.
So much fun.
Is it harder? Because people say that, you know, men are far more promiscuous, whether they're straight or gay, than girls. Is it harder to keep a gay marriage together?
No, not at all. I think that it also depends on the type of person, people that you surround yourself with. I mean, we are surrounded by very happy couples and people that believes in not cheating on each other. So that's never a problem in our relationship, have ever been, or in our marriage. So I don't know. I think if you truly love somebody and you have your value system there, I don't think that will happen at all.
Yeah. So I mean, cheating's either in your system or not.
It's something that you feel you need to do or not. Yeah.
I think there are people who are just like unrehabilitated cheaters. Yeah. They'll just spend their whole life jumping from person to person, and then there are those people who will keep it together because to them it's more important.
And you know, the whole drama, I just always tell Vicky, you know, the whole drama to find someone else, go learn all
this.
It's just too much work. Actually, we'll never.
Are you two ever going to get kids into the picture?
Definitely. We're thinking about 4 or 5 years. If you ask Vicky, he'll say 3 years. If you ask me, I'll say 5 years. We will think of it. We'll look into that. I think a home needs children and happiness, and we have a lot of animals, and we just
what
need
animals
to share
do
them.
You have?
We have 3 Sphinx cats. We have
what
Sphinx, those hairless ones.
Oh God, those are horrible looking animals.
Cute.
Sphinx cats they're creepy, man.
They
have
no hair. They're so cute. And then
wouldn't you rather have a cuddly, soft, furry cat?
No.
You've got to explain this
Sphinx
to me.
So they're cuddly, they're cute, they're more like monkeys. They climb up on things, they break things. So they're a lot like children.
You know what? I don't buy it. I'm guessing the reason you have Sphinx cats is because they don't shed hair and you don't have to get hair on your clothes. That's what I think is going on here.
No. You know, we have a cat with normal hair as well.
Oh, you have one of those
so
too.
So that kind of defeats the point.
What are these cats' names?
It's Maymay, Maymay, Oberon, Ella, Charlie, and... No, wait, you're putting one on the spot here. Maymay. Wait.
You don't know your children.
I know my children. There's Maymay.
No, you shouldn't have children.
Oberon, I forgot.
No, you said Oberon.
Did I? Charlie, Maymay, Ella.
Who am I forgetting? That's all of them.
Yeah, sorry. That's all of them. So it's 4
Melinda,
cats.
Melinda Shaw's here. She does your PR,
yes.
Right?
Yes. Melinda, how's it angel.
Going? It's going fabulous. And there's a little dog that looks just like me.
A dog that looks like Melinda.
We have a little Melinda dog called Jyoti, and he's a ginger poodle, a miniature ginger poodle.
Wow. How do you get a ginger poodle? I hope you don't take him to the salon 4 times a week.
No, but he's going tomorrow.
He goes to the parlor to be groomed.
To the parlor, yes. Oh. So he's my little squirt winky. And then we have Suki as well. She's a Shih Tzu.
You've got a lot.
We have 2 rabbits as well.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Wow.
Kitty and Khaleesi.
Khaleesi.
She's white. So that's, she's like all white.
That's
she's
great.
A rabbit with albinism. So.
Oh wow. Okay. There's a lot of albinism in your life too. This is very exciting. All right. So now listen, I need to know how things work when you're designing clothes. Do you get a vision while you're lying in bed at night? Do you, when you're in the shower, suddenly think of the greatest outfit you've ever imagined? Or does it require you sitting at a desk with a pencil on hand? Or what do you use? Pencils?
Yeah, pencils, markers.
Markers, right.
You know, it's an energy process. It's for when I design for somebody particular, I look at them and they inspire me, what they look like, what they like, the energy that they carry. When I'm designing for the South African woman, I think of the South African woman and what she's like and where she'll go and what conversations she'll have, and then that will inspire me. So
what would you do here for Alma Bali? I mean, imagine she's going to make an appearance on the red carpet next week, which is not that difficult to imagine.
Yeah.
What kind of an outfit would you design for Mubs?
I wouldn't put her in something outrageous because I think you're quite conservative.
I'm very shy.
Yeah. Okay. So I'll probably go for a color like a gold, I think.
Ooh.
Just beautifully fitted gown.
Long. Yeah. Okay. Here's so it's the a runway gown, music.
It's a gown.
It's
a long gown. It's perhaps a bit of sequins. Perhaps I'll ombre the hem. Okay. I'll give you a bit of a cap sleeve there with some detail around the shoulder.
Am I gonna not show boobage?
You'll show a bit of boobage.
Oh, okay. I'll show boobage.
And I'll probably go up a couple of cup sizes.
Wow. Okay.
I'll
make now
you. Give me a lift.
Now here's the clincher, Mubs. What would the price tag be on this individually designed, specially put together outfit for my bunny?
I will not say, but Mbali, I think you should sell your car.
Wow, okay. Yo,
that's the kind of
way
money.
Way out of my league.
Wow. Listen, speaking of cars, Melinda, you drive a Mini, right? You love your Mini.
Love it.
Well, listen to this. We'll get back to Khatia and Kutsir in a second, but if you're thinking of buying a car or getting a new car, here is some good news for you. The month of March, Lyndhurst Auto Mini has the deal to make putting a Mini in your driveway even more appealing. You can purchase any new 3 or 5 door Mini Cooper or Cooper S and stand the chance of qualifying for up to 20,000 Rand in trade assistance. If it's a new Mini Cooper S Roadster, Cooper S Coupe, Cooper S Paceman, or Cooper S Countryman that gets your motor revving, you could stand the chance of qualifying for up to 35,000 Rand in trade assistance on the purchase of a new vehicle. And then you can be as stylish as Melinda Shaw here. You could also look as good as Aria Kelman is this week. It doesn't end there. Purchase a new vehicle this month, and over and above the deals that I've just told you about, they will throw in a free smash-and-grab window protection as well. This is not to be missed. Speak to the friendly sales team at Lyndhurst Auto Mini for more information on how to get you behind the wheel of your dream car this March. Go to cliffcentral.com for all the details. And every afternoon this week, you can join Aria Kelman at 3:15 for #MiniCentral. To meet the team and learn more about this iconic brand. Today's got Euphonic on, who proudly drives a Mini. #MiniCentral, only on cliffcentral.com. T's and C's apply. It's nice when I can advertise stuff that I actually like.
That's cool. That's, you
know,
very cool.
So many times people will buy something on the show, or, you know, they'll want an ad played, and it's for something you just don't like. And this is Mini is just such a great brand. I mean, they're sexy.
And people get obsessed with it, hey? If you see
big
those
time
Mini drivers, they all, like, have the they have handbags, they
have the jackets, they wear they have sunglasses.
It's a thing. It's,
yeah,
a,
it's
complete
a big
thing, yeah.
How do you know what the next big thing in fashion is, Khatia and Kutsir? How do you know what people are going to
We generally get it right, because it's a feeling that you get off people. You see, they'll slowly but surely start heading in a certain direction, and you just have to pick it up early. It's like online radio. It starts hinting a couple of years ago, and now boom, here's Cliff Central. So it's
but I think
all about
you guys,
picking that up.
I think you fashion designers, and certain fashion designers in particular, you're at the very edge, because if you think about it, artists who do sculpture or painting or any of that stuff, there's a much slower, more gradual curve there. Mm. People who, even hairdressers, that kind of catches on after fashion.
Mm.
But fashion always comes first.
Actually, makeup goes first.
You think
makeup is first, and that is what inspires a lot. And then fashion takes the makeup, and they make clothes that goes with it. So it depends how you look at the process. I think. Yeah, it's a slowly developing process. There's a lot of research that goes into trends and what people would want and what they're going to buy next season. But I think where I've faulted in my business before is being too advanced, where I would design a skirt, put it in stores, it would not sell one.
Really?
A year later, put that very skirt back, it sells out in a week. So it's all depending on your market and knowing your market. And being,
timing is everything,
and
right?
And being in bringing trends to South Africa, but also not too quickly, because people don't understand it. So you have to really pace yourself.
Do you ever feel like you failed when, for example, you design a skirt, goes into shops, nothing sells?
Luckily, that has only happened once. And that did almost kill me. It's like, what's wrong with me? You just don't know. But then in the end of that will be something stupid, like the fabric or the sizing would be marked wrong. And then you pull it out and you learned that lesson and you continue.
How much does music influence you? Is there anything in music that you...
So much.
Really?
I think, and it also depends on what collection I'm designing. So normally I would listen to very upbeat, very like
while you're doing the designs, you're listening.
Yes, okay. With earphones, I'll just go for it or put it loudly in the studio and take
what were you listening to when you designed this last collection that you just showed at SA Fashion Week?
Last collection, I was listening to a lot of like mellow things. I was listening to a lot of what's her name? That blonde girl that doesn't show her face.
Oh, Sia.
Sia.
I was listening to a lot of Sia. A lot of I was listening to a lot of radio as well, like listening to talk radio, people talking, not really taking in anything specific. Because also, once I've done with the collection, I can't go back to that music because that will influence then the next collection. Ah. Even the decor from the show, for some random reason, ended up at my house. And I was supposed to start with a new collection last night and I couldn't because these trees are still there and I can't have anything from the previous collection in my space when I'm designing the new collection, because then it will just be a continuation.
It needs a clean break.
It needs a clean break. It needs new gray area, which we fill up. And that's also how my office is decorated. My office is very neutral, and then each season we'll add colors.
I want you to take a picture of your office when you get home and tweet it for us.
I will.
I want to see what that looks like.
My office is beautiful. I'm very happy with my office. It's new. So
how many hours a day do you spend in there?
About 23.
Wow.
You live in your office.
You don't sleep much, huh? How many hours do you spend with Vicky, the poor guy? He probably never sees you.
Vicky is always there. Vicky, you know, we all work from home. So we're all just at home the whole time. And the animals and friends, you know, friends will come over. Of course, they know you're at home, but actually you're at work. Friends will come over like 11 o'clock and leave like 11 o'clock at night. So it's always busy and there's always people living with us. There's always like
this, oh, no. Don't you hate that?
I love that.
Who are these people? Tell them to get their own homes.
No, it's friends, it's family, it's always somebody that's living there. And it's fun because then you never have to lock your house. You just always, there's somebody there.
Your parents must be very proud of you. Are they still both around?
Yes, no, they're amazing. No, thank you. They are very proud and they're very excited to see all these things that we accomplish and what we get right. And it's lots of fun.
Who do you look up to internationally? I mean, who are your favorite designers?
Internationally, I think I love Marc Jacobs. I love Vivienne Westwood. Vivienne Westwood was in Africa the other day and almost died. I mean, those type of things excites me. Yeah, I'm seeing actual designer. I thought I saw Jean-Paul Gaultier the other day and it turned out it was just an actor. But
oh no.
So those people are people that really moved and shaped their industry in their particular country. And that inspires me. And looking at their stories and reading up about what made them successful and how they got there.
I wonder if we will have the next big thing come from Africa, because it seems to be happening in so many other areas. Do you think in fashion we've already been there a couple of times, but we just, maybe people like me don't know about it because I'm not as literate in the world of fashion as others, or do you think it's still coming?
I think it's still coming. No, we haven't. There hasn't been a designer that has broken through there yet. There's a lot of us that's getting there, that's on that horse, and that's going to arrive there soon.
Do you think that would mean what? Paris, New York, Milan?
I mean, David does very well in New York.
David Tlale, yeah.
Very well. I think Gavin did very well in Paris. I mean, there's
what do you make of that whole controversy that he copied dresses?
You know, it's so unfortunate that people would go there and that they'd make that comparison. I think it is very unfortunate. But I think Gavin is very smart, so I think he knows what he's doing, and there's some surprise coming.
You think the last laugh will be on the people who criticized
him? I think so. I think he's doing something very clever. Knowing Gavin, he's doing something very clever, and he's going to do something soon, I think, that's going to surprise him. We're all going to see, connecting the dots there.
Okay.
Sounds like you know something.
No, I don't. I just know Gavin, and I know he's very clever, so he definitely has something.
Okay, I'm pleased to hear that, because we don't like to hear horrible things about our most talented people. What about this stupid white and gold or blue and black dress?
That is hilarious.
Can you explain this to me?
I got it wrong as well.
Okay, explain to me what happened there.
I just think it's funny. Like my husband.
What is that?
My husband, he got a onesie, a black and blue onesie for his birthday. And he tweeted a picture like, oh, I love my gold and white onesie. I just think it's hilarious.
What was the story there? Did these women just, was it a trick?
I think, no, it's not a trick at all. It is how different people perceive color. And if you look at, there's a whole thing on YouTube that you can actually go and look. I think if you Google the black and blue dress, you'll find that there's these facts and what the eye does
but
with different
come
lines.
Come on, Khatjan, if the sky's blue, the sky's blue. We can't have people arguing that it's orange.
What color did you see it?
I saw white and gold.
I also saw white and gold. But in actual fact, it is a blue and black dress. If you look at it.
No,
it's not. not.
No, to hell with you. It's white and gold.
Is it really white and gold?
Oh, please. No, I was up for 3 hours looking at this goddamn thing from all angles. Damon, is it blue? Watch, if there's anyone who can't tell, it's Damon. Blue and black or white and gold?
You know what? I saw it on Facebook, and I got to be honest, I didn't really concentrate and I moved on. I'm sorry.
That's a very big story.
I'm interested.
I know it was a big story, but it was only a big story 3 days later after I first saw it.
What are you wearing today? Come in here and let Gert-Jan Kutsi have a look at you.
I'm wearing a black t-shirt.
And let him have a look at you. Come in here.
Yeah, but this is silly, this come exercise.
Here. I like doing this.
I saw what he's wearing when he came
to
fetch me.
Why don't you give us an appraisal of his outfit? Here we go. Damon, give us your outfit. Let's go. What do you think? Gert-Jan Kutsi, what do we say?
Damon's very comfortable, of course. He's a comfortable man that does a comfortable thing. So I'm not going to say much.
You're such a nice human being. You're such a good guy.
But I see. I think I must next time design the Gareth Cliff t-shirts.
Yeah,
that
can
one is
you?
Short on you.
Yeah, it's got a big boob. But in all seriousness,
so you bought the one with the boob bench.
Do you think no matter what your job description is, no matter what you do from 9 to 5? Should one always be very conscious of what one wears? Like, can't one just relax and just be comfortable?
I don't know. I think if you like clothes and you like things, even your comfortable clothes will be nice. So yeah, I don't know.
Do you ever dress down? Excuse. When can we find you, like...
I'm dressed down now.
Yeah, but I mean, you could go walking down the streets of Paris now in that outfit and no one would be unimpressed.
I like my onesies. That's probably me dressed down. So I have all types. I have a zebra onesie. I've got a parrot. Vicky actually has a parrot onesie. We just love getting into our onesies and sitting outside. So that's very dressed down
that's
for us.
That's the life.
But
that's
it's themed. I love themed things. So all our onesies are themed.
I think this is fascinating. I'm just so impressed with the kinds of strides we're making in fashion. And you're at the front of that pack. I think it's awesome. You're doing such good work, man.
Thank you so much, Gareth. We do try. And it's amazing developing industry, that South African and African industry. It's
what
amazing.
Do you spend your money on when you feel like splurging?
Shoo. I just bought a Oscar 3000, a juice maker.
The 3000?
I don't know. What's it called? Vicky's suggestion. It's like, we need an Oscar. We need to be healthy. I was like, that'd be great. It looks amazing.
I've heard, though, that those juicer machines can actually make you, because then you get into the juice and you start making so much of it, you get fat. And
no, you must be careful, though. And not too many sweet things in the juice. So we make mostly green and red juices.
All right.
Once we get it. So,
okay. Yeah. Do you spend a lot of time in the gym or watching what you eat?
Yes,
or any of that
stuff?
Because you were fat once. We don't want you going
once.
Back.
I want to go back there. I always say there's this fat boy inside of me. Can't wait to get out, so I have to keep him in time. Go to the gym twice a week. Don't eat gluten. Don't eat sugar. So be careful what you eat.
All right.
Healthy. But like all of us, I think most 20 people in the modern life, and especially people I imagine listen to online radio, would be on top of things and more fashion forward, and more conscious. So
I wouldn't include me in that, but maybe Mubs. Certainly, Sia Sangweni Finn always looks fantastic.
He introduced
Duncan
himself
Smart.
To me as Gareth Cliff's assistant. So I don't even know who CR is. I just know Gareth's assistant.
Well, he's going to be far more well-known than me one day, so you better pay attention. Listen, Gert-Jan, it's lovely to have you here, man.
Thank you for having me.
All the best. We love you. We hope you continue to make lots and lots of fantastic outfits, some great strides for the fashion industry, and lots of cash with big clients.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
You've got to get these people ordering left, right, and center,
please,
keeping you
guys
busy.
Go to spree.co.za.
Yeah, well, there we are. There's an endorsement. You can actually find your collections on Spree.
Yes.
That's impressive.
Thank you.
It's the way of the future, man.
And this season, you could shop the runway. So as the clothes that I showed on Wednesday is already available for purchase.
Oh.
On top of things as that.
You're not messing around.
No.
So if we want to get your outfits now, we can get the very things that you were showing at SA Fashion
Week.
Yes,
so the concept's called Shop the Ramp. And it was the first time in Africa where fashion and technology met, and I had a GoPro attached to me, so you could see the whole behind the scene process. And as the show happened, the garments went live for sale, and it's been doing so well. I mean,
so much fun.
That is how fashion should be, because by the time the stuff is normally in shops, it's a season later, and then you forgot about it. So.
No, we want to get in there now.
Yeah.
All right, dude. Thank you so much.
Awesome. Thank you.
Pleasure to meet you. And there we go, Gert-Jan Kutsi. The talented, amazing South African designer, changing the world little by little. An update for us on the cricket. What are we doing?
Oh, Gareth, we're getting bent over a barrel here.
Oh, no, don't say it. Oh, say it isn't so.
We've bowled 5 overs. McCullum's already got a 50. New Zealand.
Sorry, what was our total at the end?
It got adjusted to the fact that New Zealand need 298 from 43 overs. They've come out blazing. McCullum's got a 50 already in five overs. New Zealand are 71 for naught after the five overs. But Tahir's come on, and he hasn't been hit for eight sixes like anyone else. And they are actually reviewing an LBW decision, which, if it doesn't go our way right now, Gareth, I am actually going to burst into tears.
Don't say it. Say it isn't so.
It's pitched on a good... Yes, that's pitching on. It might be a bit high, but just give it.
Come on.
For the sake of this country and my morning, please give it.
Let's see what the decision is. We'll wait. Everyone hold your breath. Are you ready?
Original umpire's call was not out, so there has to be absolutely no doubt it's going on to hit the stumps. They have reviewed it. It has taken... He's got a massive stride in. Come on.
This is killing me, and I don't even completely understand what's going on.
Come on. This has got to, the whole ball has to hit the wicket here. None of this clipping the top of the bale.
All right.
Final. Yes, he hasn't hit it. Carry on.
What do we got?
They take even longer.
Original decision not out. Wickets missing. Impact in line. Pitching in line.
Going over the top. So original decision stands. New Zealand are still off to a blazing start. Just ridiculously how quickly they're batting. They're just swinging and everything's going to the bloody boundary.
How terrible. Even Mabali is upset.
71 for naught. But Tahir is on and he's bowled three dot balls, which is the best we've done so far.
All right, let's get to the unnews, and then we'll catch up with you again tomorrow morning between 6 and 9. Are you ready? Let's do this. President Jacob Gedleyihlekisa Zuma just said, "Mac, go away and cancel all my sexual liaisons. New Zealand are looking very dangerous." Police have found a cell phone at the Funbradar murder scene with an internet search history on axe murders. Is this the smoking gun or the glove that fits? We will find out. Former Grand Slam tennis champion Bob Hewitt has been convicted on two counts of rape and one count of indecent assault. Hewitt has now put up his two Wimbledon seats next to Elio Nastase on eBay if you want them. Get them ASAP. All right, we will see you tomorrow.